Pepper Young's family. Pepper Young's family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message. Well, Mr. Young and Peggy have just arrived in Oak Park after a pleasant drive from Elmwood and a good old-fashioned talk together. Mr. Young has an appointment to discuss a business proposition, and the interview means more than he likes to think about. For he has been without work for some time now, and if he's to hold on to the house in Elmwood and provide comfortably for his family, something will have to open up soon. Peggy parks the car in front of Mr. Jeffrey's office on Main Street, and Mr. Young opens the door.
I don't know how long I'll be inside, Peggs, but... Look, if you don't want to wait in the car, you can wander around Oak Park for a while. I ought to be through about, half an hour.
Oh, I don't mind waiting in the car, Daddy. I'll just get a magazine and read.
All right, dear. And now keep your fingers crossed and wish me luck.
Oh, I don't know. Remember, Mama doesn't want you to get this job way over here in Oak Park.
Oh, I know, Peggs, but jobs are scarce as hen's teeth for men my age, and I'm lucky to get one anyplace. So you keep your fingers crossed.
Okay, Daddy.
That's right. Mr. Jeffries?
Ah, Mr. Young, I'm glad to see you. Although I admit I made you come a long ways. But I didn't expect to see you to hear so soon. You must have driven very fast.
No, not very.
Well, how about having a spot of lunch with me and we can talk over coffee?
Oh, well, I'm afraid I can't do that, Mr. Jeffries. I've got my young daughter with me and we plan to have lunch together when you and I are through talking.
Well, why can't she join us?
Well, because I'd rather not talk business with you in her presence.
Well, whatever you like. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Mr. Young, I have a mighty interesting proposition to offer you.
I certainly hope so.
Mr. Young, you've lived in Elmwood a long time, haven't you?
Yes, for 20 years.
And I understand you were in business in Johnstown recently.
Yes, I just closed up my office there this spring.
Well, then you know all the territory in and about Elmwood, to say nothing of the Johnstown territory.
Yes, I know it. Mr. Jeffries, is this a selling proposition?
Well, yes, it is, more or less.
Oh. Selling what?
Not so fast, Mr. Young. I suppose you let me ask the questions.
Of course. Go ahead, Mr. Jeffries.
Do you have a car, I presume, seeing you drove over here this morning?
Yes, I have a car.
If we give you the Johnstown territory and the Elmwood territory, that ought to bring you in quite a nice commission, Mr. Young.
Do you mean you expect me to work on a commission basis with no fixed salary?
Well, all our salesmen work on a strict commission basis. We find that it is a greater incentive, and those who succeed in bringing in the most business get a bonus.
I still don't know what I'm supposed to sell.
Well, now, Mr. Young, we think we have the finest set of books for young people that's come on the market in a long time. They are educational books, and we feel that no home can afford to be without them. We found that when a man who's well-known in a certain community presents these books, they sell like hotcakes.
Mr. Jeffries, I'm sorry, but your proposition doesn't interest me at all.
But you haven't heard my proposition. You haven't heard the profit there is in it for you. You haven't heard what a large percentage we pay you on sales.
Well, I'm afraid that no matter how large a percentage you paid on sales, I'm not the man for you, Mr. Jeffries. I'd never make a good salesman. You see, going from door to door is a gift I'm afraid I haven't got.
But you need employment, Mr. Young.
Well, I certainly do, and I don't like turning down any job.
Well, then, surely it wouldn't do any harm to take a crack at this. You've everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Well, it isn't that, Mr. Jeffries. It's that I know my own limitations. No matter how good your books are, and I've no doubt that they're excellent, I'd be just wasting your time and mine to attempt to sell them. I can't do it, Mr. Jeffries. I'm sorry.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mr. Young. Don't be hasty. Think it over. Let me show you the books. Let me explain their merits to you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jeffries. I'm just not your man. Good morning.
Oh, Daddy, are you back so soon? What happened?
Something that calls for a celebration, Banks.
A celebration? Did you get the job?
No, I didn't. That's what we're going to celebrate.
What? But why?
Well, I never wanted to work in Oak Park anyway. Your mother was right. It's too far away from all of you. Why, what if you needed me some night to talk things over with and I was in Oak Park?
Daddy, I actually think you're glad.
Glad? I should say I am. I'm tickled to death. Come on now, let's go in this little restaurant here and telephone your mother, and then I'll blow you to lunch, the best darn lunch that can be bought in Oak Park for $1.
Oh, Daddy, you're wonderful. Think of anybody celebrating not getting a job.
We'll be back with the Youngs in a moment after this message.
Excuse me, aren't you Mr. Young?
Yes.
My name is Brewster. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, well, very well. Peggs, you go on in and order lunch, and I'll be right along.
Okay, Daddy.
Well, Mr. Brewster, I don't think we've met before. You from Elmwood?
No, I'm not. As a matter of fact, I'm not from anywhere around these parts. So I guess I'm a stranger to you, Mr. Young.
You are indeed, but I'm very glad to know you.
I live in New York, and I represent some people who are interested in acquiring some land.
Land? Why, that's right up my alley, Mr. Brewster. I've got plenty of land.
Well, now, suppose I say that you might have something that'll interest my client.
Oh, you're a lawyer.
Yes, I am.
Well, now, what sort of a proposition is it, Mr. Brewster?
It's rather indefinite at present. It's just a matter of looking around and finding a suitable spot.
Mm-hmm. A suitable spot for what?
I understand you've got a piece of land out on Coronet Lake.
Coronet Lake? Well, I should say I have. There's about 150 acres on the lakefront and old Coronet House, which used to be quite a summer resort in its day.
Now, what condition is it in now?
Well, it's in a very bad condition, Mr. Brewster. What is it, a hotel you're planning to put up or something of that sort?
Well, I'm not free to disclose what the plans of the company are yet. You see, their chief interest is in acquiring the land, and if possible, a good house on it. If not, they'd be prepared to tear it down and build over again.
Well, that would most certainly be the wisest thing for anybody to do with the Coronet House. It's pretty ramshackle now, I must confess, and it would take a lot of money to put in order.
I'd like to look over this property before disclosing the plan to you.
Well, I'm at your disposal. Anytime you like at all, it'll be all right with me. I've got the keys to the house, of course, and we could go up there, well, say tomorrow, and look it over. It's a beautiful location, there's no question about that, and if you were to start building now, I suppose your hotel or marina or whatever you put up there would be ready for next summer. Is that when you plan to use it?
Considerably before that, I think, Mr. Young. If my clients are satisfied that this is the piece they're looking for, the plans would go right ahead.
Uh-huh.
Now, I tell you what, Mr. Young. Suppose I meet you at your office tomorrow.
Well, Mr. Brewster, at present, I have no office. I'm operating from my home on Union Street in Elmwood. It's 183 Union Street. Now, if you'd care to come up there tomorrow morning, Mr. Brewster, any time you say, I'll drive you over to Coronet Lake in my car.
That'd be fine. Would 10 o'clock suit you?
It certainly would.
Then I'll be there.
Well, I don't know what you people are prepared to pay.
Now, Mr. Young, don't let that worry you. If the place is right, if the location is right, there isn't going to be any quibbling over the price. Plenty of money to pay for what we want, provided we find it.
All right, Mr. Brewster, then tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Right, Mr. Young. I'm sorry I've interrupted your lunch with the young lady. I presume that's your daughter, isn't it?
Yes, that's my daughter.
Mighty pretty girl.
Well, she's a mighty nice girl, which is even more important.
Yes, that's right. Well, tomorrow morning, then, Mr. Young.
Yes, Mr. Brewster.
I hope you don't mind.
I don't mind a bit, dear.
Who is that nice-looking man?
His name is Brewster. I don't know the thing about him except that he's interested, or his company's interested, in acquiring a piece of property on which they want to build something or other. I don't know what yet. He hasn't said what it is.
A piece of property where?
He wants to look at Coronet Lake Pit.
Oh, Daddy, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, wouldn't you just love to sell that?
I certainly would. I can't think of anything I'd like to do as much at this precise moment as to get rid of that for a good round figure.
Does he seem very interested in it, Daddy?
Well, he sure does. He's going up there tomorrow morning with me to look at it first thing.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad for you. Oh, isn't that lucky? Isn't that what you said, that you hoped something would happen? And it's happened right here and now.
Well, now, Paige, don't. Let's count our chickens before they're hatched.
And so Mr. Brewster, whoever he is, has brought new hope to Mr. Young. And now a message from our sponsors. Tomorrow, Biff gets a letter from his father which upsets his plans. Be sure to join us on Pepper Young's Family. John Scott speaking. Pepper Young's Family is a modern drama production.